We want to come back to the book of Daniel chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. We've been studying. Daniel is such a tremendous man of God and such a tremendous book, especially when he speaks to us about the last days. A lot of people say, well, are we living in the last days? Well, that's a very interesting question. The answer is yes. We really believe we are. You say, well, how do you know? Because they've been saying this since my grandmother's time. Well, we know for sure because of the scriptures, the way they speak and the way they align themselves in these last days, especially when you read Newsweek or you go out and you watch CNN, you know, and the news channels, ABC, NBC, CBS, you read the LA Times, you read, you know, you go into the internet and you look at information. And it seems that everything that's going on and happening, even the greatest sign, Israel, that is pointing to the last days. God's word not only spoke to the prophets of Old Testament times. God said things years ago that today already historically and theologically already have been fulfilled when you look at them. And Daniel, here he is, you know, over 2,000 years, 2,500 years ago, as he was in Babylon, waiting for the people of God to be released after 70 years of captivity, and he knew that the time was just about up. And he himself, becoming a man of the Word, gets into the Word of God without having Bibles, but they have scrolls, and he begins to read the prophet Jeremiah, and he begins to see that the time of their departure is just about it. 70 years are almost completed. And then God will allow Israel to return back to their land. 55,000 return. But Daniel never expected for God to speak to him about their return back to Jerusalem, but also that he would add to them the future of the world. What would happen even till the second coming of Jesus Christ, when even the first coming had not happened yet? Imagine that. Christ's first coming hadn't even happened yet. And he speaks to him about the second coming. So imagine how Daniel must have felt writing the scriptures, receiving the prophecy of the Lord into his own personal life. And to me, it's always a challenge because this morning, we want to look at the future of the world ruler that is coming. The future world ruler. Now you say, well, who is going to rule in the last days? Good question. The Bible tells us about a man that will come and he will set up a whole world system. First of all, the greatest thing that he will do is he will bring peace to the Middle East between the Arabs and the Jews. We know that. So we know as we study prophecy and as we look at the, you know, the news, you know, being pronounced concerning Israel and the PLO and the Muslims and all the things that are going on, not only with the Taliban and all kinds of things in the Middle East, we know that this is only the beginning of the end. God spoke of such a day as this. And so when we read the scripture, it excites me. It brings excitement to my life that to know that here I am in the year 2002 on Sunday morning and I am living in the last days. That it is very possible that I myself and you could see the coming of the Lord in our own generation. That, to me, it's exciting and it's thrilling. But at the same time, I get bummed. Why? Because I think of all the people that still don't know Christ and what's going to happen to them. My concern is for my family. My concern is for my friends. And my concern is even for my enemies. Because when I read the Bible and I study the Word of God, you get the full picture as you read the book of Daniel and you read the epistles and you read the book of Revelation. And you get a full-on picture of what's going to happen. Nothing like Hollywood has ever actually made in a movie. Nothing like it. Incredible what's going to happen. And then you have those people that say, well, you know, if the Lord returns pretty soon and I'm left behind, hey, I'll just accept Him afterwards. Whoops. Wrong choice. You won't be able to. You say, wait a minute. You won't be able to? Nope. The only way people will be able to be saved in the last 7 years of world history, when the Antichrist comes, the Bible says you are going to have to be what? Beheaded. You won't be able to buy or to sell or to work or to do anything unless you got the chip in your right hand or your forehead. You say, well, such a thing is possible today. Oh, you bet. It's here. Modern technology. The Japanese developed the microchip that's big as the head of a pencil that can be inserted in the back of your hand or your forehead, and everything from your license to credit cards to your bank account savings, everything can be inserted and you can become an individual person just in your own little thing where it becomes a cashless society today. And it's coming. And yet people don't understand that this is God's perfect will for the world. He's already said it. But now it's going to be fulfilled. You see, when Daniel was writing about the 70th week of Daniel, he said 77s will be happening. 490 years are to take place, Daniel. He said in the 490 years, within 483 years fulfillment, not only will the commandment be given to rebuild Jerusalem, which came in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, on March 14, 445 BC. You can read that historically. 445 BC. Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, gave the command to do that. And then by the time Jesus came at his first coming, and he was riding on a colt of an ass down to the city of Jerusalem, that very Palm Sunday was April the 6th, 32 AD. 483 years exactly what God said to Daniel to the date when the Messiah would come. And even to the date of 70 AD when Titus the Roman would come and destroy the city of Jerusalem. We can look back now at history. He could not look back because history was not fulfilled yet. Yet we can see it. You can read history. Exactly what happened. How did Daniel know that? Well, God told him. God showed him. And to me, what's amazing is that out of the 490 years, 483 already have been fulfilled. And you say, but wait a minute, there's seven lacking. That's right. And seven have been lacking for the last 1900 years. We call that the time of the Gentiles, where God has been concentrating in pouring out His grace and mercy and His Spirit upon the Gentiles. That's you and me. You see, how could such a thing happen on May 14, 1948, which was prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, that one day after God had cast out Israel, and for almost 2,000 years, they had lost their city of Jerusalem. and the people had been scattered in the four corners of the earth. How could it be that on May 14, 1947, God would give the Jews not only the land back, but their independence would come? And surely, just as God's word said it, that now over the last, almost 60 years, the Jews not only have come back to their own land, but they own the land. How did Ezekiel know that? God told him. We're eyewitnesses of everything that he said in the Old Testament. If God has fulfilled so many prophecies, what makes you doubt that he will continue to finish it all? I have no doubt. He's going to finish every one of them. You say, well, if that is really true, if this is really happening, where do you think we stand today in this 21st century? Well, I would have to say to you, that as I study prophecy and I study the Word of God, that there's probably one of the greatest events that is lacking, and it's the next event in God's prophetical calendar, which we call the rapture of the church. When Jesus Christ will come for his church, his true church. Not the Catholic Church, not the Protestant Church, not the Presbyterian Church. Wherever there are true believers in Jesus Christ, that is the true church. Those who believe in Christ and accept him as their personal Lord and Savior. There is a day coming, the Bible says, that when this great day happens, according to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, that the Lord will sound the trumpet, and those which are alive, and notice, those which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. With those that have died, they'll be there too. This will be the beginning of the last 7 years of world history, or the last 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel. 69 weeks already have been fulfilled, 483 years, and there's only one 7 year period that has not been fulfilled. That will come at the rapture of the church. And what's amazing to me is that as Daniel is speaking about this great event, look what he says in verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9. This is interesting. He says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offerings. And on the wing of the abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even into the consummation, which is determined, it is poured out on the desolate. What is he talking about? Well, you see that word he, it's in reference to the Antichrist. At the end. He said, how do you know? Well, look what it says. Then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. We know for sure that the Antichrist is going to confirm himself to the world, but he's going to become Israel's best friend for 3.5 years. He will solve their problems for 3.5 years. He will allow them to build their temple on the Temple Mount where the arrows don't want it today. We know that because of Revelation chapter 11. We also recognize that the Jews not only have come back to Palestine, but that God himself right now is dealing with the Gentiles. And once the Gentiles' time comes to an end, according to Paul in the book of Romans chapter 11, when the time of the Gentiles is in fulfillment, then what's going to happen? Then once the church is taken out of the way, God will begin to deal with Israel for the last 7 years of world history. Where? The Antichrist for the first 3.5 years will be a good friend to them, build their temple, But when he begins to see the Jews getting power and God pouring out his spirit upon them, and they're sacrificing their lambs and their rams. And by the way, I've been to Israel 19 times, and I've been to the old city where the Jews already have all of the utensils, all of the knives, all of the platters, all of the garments to go back and start killing lambs at any time when the temple's rebuilt. They already got it. The thing that's lacking is the temple. There is no temple. But the Bible says it will be rebuilt. And when that temple is rebuilt, the Antichrist will build a wall in the middle of the Jewish temple and the Muslim temple on top of the Mount of Olives. Revelation 11 tells us that. And he'll separate Islam from Judaism. But the Bible says that the Antichrist in his process will try to bring a one world religion, one world military system, and one world government. He will rule. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 that he will have an assistant. He's called the false prophet that will arise. And he will be not the political leader, he will be the religious leader. They will have a hold of all religions of the world and say, you know what, all religions are the same. They all lead to the same God. And our God today is the Antichrist, this man that we have seen because of the miracles and the wonders. And he will allow them to line up with the Antichrist and to worship him. And he'll even create and make an image of the Antichrist that receives a mortal head wound, and the whole world worships him before them. You see, that's an impossibility. No, it's not. No, it's not. It will happen. The Bible has told us that. But you know what? As I was reading, I got blown away this week. Did you know that those people that are sitting this morning here in this church or any church? And if you know any backsliders today, listen, let me give you a warning. Turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He writes a second letter. And in the second letter, he talks to them about not only the coming of the Lord, but what happens after the Lord comes and the Antichrist makes his appearance. And he rules and he governs. He said, what's going to happen if I'm left behind? I'm glad you asked. Because I want to tell you. First of all, I want you to understand that if you sit in a Bible teaching church, you know the scriptures, you know that right now we have the power of the Holy Spirit to rule over our lives. When the Antichrist comes and the church is taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit will only be with certain people. Not everybody. It will be like in the Old Testament times. You say, what do you mean? Well, let's read it. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, beginning with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, talking to Christians, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Paul's been talking about the rapture. Here again he says we're going to be gathered together to who? To the Lord. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as if the day of Christ already had happened. You see, in the early church, in the church of Thessalonica, only a 3-week-old church that Paul established, they were bummed out because Paul was talking about the coming of the Lord, and many were saying, well, what's going to happen to our loved ones that are dead? Are they going to be there too? What's going to happen? Well, Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that those that have died in Christ are with the Lord already. And when the Lord comes back for His church, He's coming back to the earth, not all the way to the earth. He's coming, you know, in the second heaven. And every person that has ever died will be coming with Jesus Christ. And we are going to meet them in the air. And we're going to go back to heaven for 7 years. And then at the end of 7 years, we're going to come back at the second coming. That's what the Bible teaches. But check this out. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there comes a falling away first, and the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. What's interesting is that word to fall away in the Greek is apostasia. It can be of apostasy, or the same word can be used for what? For the departure of the church of Jesus Christ. And then what happens? The Antichrist will come. You say, well, how do you know that? Watch this. Verse 4. He says, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God and that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God. Hey, wait a minute. The temple, there's no temple. Oh, there will be a temple. They're going to rebuild a temple. Check this out. Showing himself that he is God. Remember you not when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is withholding, that he might be revealed in this time. Now here Paul informs us that there's something restraining the Antichrist from making his appearance. Why? Because in 1 John chapter 4, John tells us that the Antichrist spirit has been here for 1900 years. But he's talking about the person, the Antichrist, that is going to make his appearance. Watch this. He says in 7, for the mystery of iniquity already is working, only he. You see that word he? Underline it. That word he is the presence of the church by the Holy Spirit in the world that is restraining him from coming. Watch what he says. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Now once the he is taken out of the way, what happens? Then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I mean, you don't need to be a theologian to understand that. He's telling you what's going to happen. Watch this. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them, remember this word them, in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now let me stop here for 1 second. Make note of this. Paul is saying that the people who were left behind after the rapture of the church, which would be your loved ones and your children, whoever it is, they will be deceived even by God himself. They cannot be saved once the rapture comes. That's it. You don't get second chances here. Watch this. This is incredible what Paul says. He says this in verse 10. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, here it is, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. If they can receive Jesus Christ today by faith, how in the world are they going to believe in the future when the great lie and deception is sent? Oh yeah, by the way, there's going to be a lot of people getting saved. Those that don't know Christ and have never heard of Christ. But those that have heard of Christ and continue to deny Christ and they don't live for Christ, and if they're left behind, they won't be able to what? Receive the knowledge of the truth, because God will send them a lie and they'll be deceived. God gives them over to a reprobate mind because they did not believe the truth when it was given to them. That's scary. I never saw it that way before. Watch this. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in what? In their sins. They were more interested in living it up and having fun and partying than serving Jesus Christ. Interesting. Hey, tell your friends about it. Tell your loved ones about it. God means what he says. We are living in such a critical time in the time of this history that we're living in, like never before. I look at the world. I was at the In-N-Out the other night having, you know, eating a hamburger, and I was sitting there, and there were these freshman girls with the boys. And I was overhearing their conversation. I could not believe what my ears were hearing. They were talking pornography. 14 years old. Using the F word. Using the B word. Using every foul word you could ever imagine. And these are young, beautiful, young people in high school, freshmen, and already polluted. It can be some of your children. With the internet, with the movies they watch, the music they listen to. Listen, pay attention to your children. Know what they're doing. Know what they're listening to. Supervise them. You don't want to lose them. Satan wants to destroy your family. And he wants to destroy you. If we are living in the last days, and this is true, then what's going to happen in the future to come? Well, the best is yet to come. For the church, yes, but for the world, the worst. Why? Because those last 7 years of world history, the Bible says this, the first 3.5 years, it will be semi-tribulation. The last 3.5 years, when the Antichrist rises himself against Israel because he watches God's hand on Israel, he will kill 2/3 of the Jewish nation and 1/3 will flee to the city of Petra there in Jordan. And the Bible says that the sun will not give its light, the moon will turn into blood red, the stars of the heavens will fall, earthquakes will come. The first one shakes the islands and the mountains, and the second one, no island, no mountain was found on the face of the earth. And then Jesus said this, unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be able to survive it. 24-hour days cut short. It's going to be terrible. Terrible. Like the world has never seen before. You say, well, you think Paul and Peter, John and Jesus are warning us? Oh, you bet. That's why we read our Bibles. This is a time in the history of the world to get closer to the heart of God like never before. Like never before. It's not a movie. This is the real world. This is reality. And what really amazes me is that we are in the point where not only Israel today, and the Arabs are fighting for power and for position, and at the same time, no peace will come. But at the same time, America is at war today against the Muslim nations. And what's going to happen against terrorism? And at the same time, we know that God, in the book of Genesis, chapter 12 through 17, God gave the land not to Ishmael, but to Isaac, to the Jews, not to the Arabs. They could solve the problem tomorrow. They read the Bible, but they won't. Why? Because God's timing. God's timing. God is working. In the midst of evil, God is working. So if these things are true, and the Lord Jesus Christ truly is coming again, then what do I need to do? Hey, I need to get right with God. I need to make sure what he said in the book of Matthew chapter 25. He says, when the Lord comes, make sure he finds you ready. He finds you so doing the will of God. You don't want to get caught doing not the will of God. That would be the terrible thing. And I think that it's time to get our eyes on heaven, because our redemption is drawing very close. I am concerned for our nation. I am concerned for the world. I am concerned for the young. Because if this is true, and we're watching Satan rip up our young people, stealing their minds, stealing their hearts, stealing their youth, then the next generations to come, imagine how much worse they'll be. We call that the Antichrist generation. It's already here. It's already here. The only thing that can save us is if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and repent and pray and seek my face, then I, God, will hear from heaven, and I, God, will heal their land. God wants to do a work in our lives. That's why there's an urgency in my life for you to be here on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights. Why? Because you're learning. You're in the house of the Lord. You're coming as a family. You're teaching your children and your grandchildren that church is important. Not just to go to church and become a church member, but we come to the house of the Lord with great expectancy to hear from God, fellowship with one another, answer prayer. We come with our burdens and everything that we have within our own hearts, and we ask God to help us. We need each other, and we need to love each other with each other. God wants to work a work in our lives like he hasn't in the past, but in the present, and looking to the future. But the question is this: are you willing to submit your life to him 100%? I cannot answer that. You have to answer for yourself. Father, we come before you this morning. Father, as we pick up next week part 2 to all of the descriptions and characteristics of the Antichrist, Father, we pray for your people which are called by your name. And I don't know who's here this morning, but the Holy Spirit does, in the coffee house here in the sanctuary. If you need in your life Jesus Christ, and you want him to forgive you and to cleanse you and wash you from all of your sins through his precious blood that he shed on Calvary for you and me, and you want to become a Christian, I'm going to ask you, whether you're young or old, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today and you want salvation in your life, I want you to get up and I want you to come up here to the front and stand right here, and we're going to worship, and we're going to ask God to touch you. You get up and you come now, and then we're going to pray with you. Come now.